I've had a couple of exhortations in the past, or not that long ago really, but one on compassion and one on servantship. And we're going to take some issues that came out of those and just see where we go with them in the application of the thoughts of servantship in our lives and how we are to manifest that and how it affects us in our... So I'll wait for the sound to come up a bit more. How are we going there? It's better? Okay. And how it affects us, how it affects our walk, how it affects our conversation, our walk in the truth. Driving down here this morning, Jill's been in Tauranga for 3 or 4 days and I've been at home by myself, so I was in a bit of a hurry to get down to Tauranga. And of course, the trip down from Pairoa through Waihi, through Katikat, can get pretty tedious when you're stuck behind somebody that will only do 70 or 80 k an hour. And coming up through the roadworks through Athenry, and this guy in an NZ hose truck in front of me just couldn't get above 80 no matter how hard he tried. And I just came out of the gorge and I thought, oh, there's a straight coming up here, I'll get ready to go past him. And then he got up to about 85, thought, oh, I'm going to be over 100 k an hour here if I go past him. And I think, oh, I'll tuck him behind him. And sure enough, just over the brow of the hill, Mr. Plod was sitting there with his speed camera. I thought, just as well I listened to what the Lord had to say to me about overtaking this morning. And the reason I bring that up is that being a servant means being obedient to those who are our masters. To those of us who are in the workforce still, and those that have been in the workforce not so long ago, you were in a servant relationship. You were getting paid for the work you did. And I know we don't like to think of our employers as being our masters, but they were. And you had certain duties to fulfill in manifesting your servantship to them. Different for different occupations. And it came to me several times in the last little while that our servantship to the world needs to be addressed sometimes in our lives. We get careless how we present our servantship to those around us. Now, to be a true and faithful servant is one thing in the actions that we undertake in doing work for others. And I'm sure there's none of us here that don't do acts of servantship to those around us on a regular basis. But how do we put it all together to make us realise we do these things unconsciously? And when we do them that way, that makes us no different from anybody else who doesn't know the truth, does it? No, we become honourable people, but that doesn't make us saved of the Lord. There are other aspects to servantship that we need to think about, the qualities of a servant. There are certain attributes of a servant. We read in our readings in Proverbs 16 that in verse 2 in particular that man is clean in his own sight. And I've often thought that, hey, sometimes I think I'm better than I really am. And it's quite a realization that when it comes down to it, we aren't. We aren't as clean as what we think we are. We need to work on it on a fairly regular basis. How often do we display the attributes in Proverbs 16, verse 16, those of mercy and truth? We should, because we're told it purges iniquity. That's worth having, isn't it? Mercy, we extend mercy, not always to all that we should. We're very good at extending mercy to our brothers and sisters. It's something that because we are in this family relationship with Christ and with each other, that we are very good at extending mercy to each other. But how much of us, or how many of us rather, extend mercy to the person who lives over the fence from us? Or the person who we see in need downtown? We don't have beggars in New Zealand, but very close to it. How often do we extend mercy to them and put a few dollars in the busker's guitar case because that's the only way he can make enough to lift himself from the position he's in? I think we look at people on the street sometime as saying, well, he can look after himself. But no, he's there for a reason, and we're there for a reason. We actually need to look after these people as well. I'm not saying be generous to everybody, be circumspect in how we offer our mercy to others. God is circumspect in offering his mercy to us and to his people Israel. When Israel were going astray, God's mercy was at a distance. And yet, when they turned their hearts fully to him, his mercy was full on. He brought them back to a place of redemption, of healing, of fullness in the land again. The condition that Israel had to meet to receive that mercy was one of humbleness. Now, how often have we felt humble at work for our employer? Not often, believe you me, it doesn't happen very often. Normally there's gripes and grizzles about how we get treated at work. That's not humbleness, okay? Our masters, the people who pay us, expect certain things of us, and we are to be humble and say yes. Christ used the same approach when the lawyers came to him and said, should we pay taxes? And Christ took a penny off them and asked them whose superscription it was. And they said, Caesar's. And Christ replied, well, render unto Caesar's those things that are Caesar's, but unto Christ those things that are, unto the God those things that are God's. Caesar, in this case, is our employers, those who are our masters, those whom we need to be in obedience to. And so, brothers and sisters, we need to make sure we get the balance right in our servant relationship with our masters, both physically and spiritually. I'm not going to leave out the spiritual part. This has a certain order to it. When we humble ourselves, as Israel humbled themselves, what did they do? Put themselves in sackcloth and ashes. Often that was a response to a time of trial and of petitioning God to redeem them from a situation. How often do we do that as servants of God? How often do we put ourselves in sackcloth and ashes? Not as often as we should. I'm sure we all try to some extent to do that. So this attribute of humbleness is hugely important in this aspect of servantship. Going back to my chain reference part of my Bible. It's a wonderful Bible, this. Gives you a whole pile of verses, one after the other, that are relevant to the topic. Qualities of servantship, humbleness we've dealt with, obedience. Servants, be obedient to them that are your masters. We've talked about mastership. We are very aware of the need to be obedient to God. We get directed and receive exhortation almost daily from brothers and sisters that we need to be obedient, and this is the path that we should work. we should walk. We think less often of obedience to traffic laws, for example, not speeding, those sorts of things. And I remember some years ago, our brother Tim Crawley standing in the same place, pouring his heart out because he was examining himself because he thought he had been disobedient to the law. He loved speeding until the time that they had a crisis with a family member. And in that time of crisis with the family member, he examined himself, as we should, about how obedient we actually are as servants. As servants, we need to be faithful. Too often in the physical world, we spend time looking in the situations vacant because we're not happy in the work that we're in. Fair enough, if that's really not where you should be in the first place. But if you've had a few niggles with the boss and you think, oh, it's time to move on because I'm actually not getting on with them, where's your faithfulness in that? Where's the trial for you? Where's the strengthening for you that comes from that trial? If we run away from situations that we are not comfortable with, where is the strengthening in that? Whether it be in a workplace, whether it be in a particular town you live in. The Lord, I'm sure, has a sense of humour because John and I, in our travellings with our farming work at the time, made a number of decisions that we weren't going to go and live in certain places because we didn't like them. And sure enough, that's where we went. Te Puke, Te Ahumuru, all sorts of places that we thought, nah, never want to be there. But the trial of us as a servant needed to happen in those places. And looking back on it now, we can see those trials strengthening us in our servantship because they involved making us humble, making us faithful to God. We had to seek out fellowship in some of these places. Some of them were quite isolated. We learnt to be compassionate for those that shared the isolation with us. So we extended not the hand of fellowship, because they were still coming into that, but we shared the word of God with those around us in those isolated places. So, as servants, we're not only to just please to be obedient to our masters, we're to please them. Wow, that's a challenge and a half. So we have to actually excel in what we do. We have to put our whole heart into it. And I'm not just talking about our work relationships at this time. When we are servants to members of our own family, members of the family of God, our neighbours, we have to do it wholeheartedly. So many times in Scripture, those people that don't have a full heart, Israel was a prime example. As soon as their heart started losing that fullness of wanting to be servants, they started going backwards. And the same with us, brothers and sisters. We need to retain, I know it takes effort, but we need to retain that fullness of heart and dedication to the things that we do, both in this physical world and in our spiritual walk. We're given tasks to do as a servant. Matthew 24, verse 45, when I gave this exhortation last time, spoke of a faithful and wise servant whom his Lord made ruler over his household. We are given positions. We are to rule over those things that are given us to protect until the time of the Lord comes. This is not just a physical thing again. This is spiritual rulership as well, both in the ecclesia and in our witness to those around us. We have tasks to do in the spiritual world and in the physical. And when the Lord comes, the Lord of that servant in this parable, when the Lord of that servant comes, will he find us faithful in so doing? We get very narrow-minded in thinking that our focus solely needs to be on our ecclesia. When that happens, the ecclesia stays very much confined. But we're seeing now in this ecclesia and in works, Whangarei, for example, with the mustard seed, although that's finished now, when we see that servantship expanding outside the ecclesia, look at the fruit that it brings in. So servantship isn't a limited thing. It's something that's very expansive. So how are we to be servants in such a wide area? Once again, the qualities of servantship are those that define how we are to approach it. We have faithfulness to the law and to Caesar's rule. We have endurance through trial and tribulation, for through endurance comes strength. Christ endured more than all of us, and he reaped the reward of that strength that came with it, for he was resurrected from the dead in strength. Conversely to strength, we need to be humble with it. Matthew 20, verse 25, when Jesus was calling on to them, speaking to his disciples rather about who was going to exercise lordship or who was going to be the greatest among them. He said, you know, the princes of the Gentiles exercise dominion over them, and they that are great exercise authority on them. But it shall not be so among you. Whosoever will be great, let him be your minister. And this is the word servant that's used here. Let him be your minister or servant. We are on earth in service to God. We need to manifest that service in a way that will reap the rewards of obedience. We are to have compassion. We spoke about compassion and giving to others. Look at the compassion that Christ displayed to those who were sick, those that had died. Is that the level of our compassion? It should be, because we're supposed to manifest Christ in our lives. But hard for us to think about how we would approach someone who had died. And I'm not saying that we need to actually challenge ourselves on that, but that time will come when all power will be given to us. Are we faithful in those little things now so that when our Lord comes as servants, we will receive a reward proportionate to our level of service to him now? Brothers and sisters, we read in our readings in Ephesians 5, verse 8, that we are to walk as children of light. That word walk is the word conversation, which I've had an exhortation about. Our walk is that of one of a servant. We are not to be unruly as servants. We are not to take lordship and authority to the detriment of others, as so often happens. We have a saying in the world that power corrupts, and absolute power corrupts absolutely. And find that very, very true. And unfortunately, sometimes when self comes to the fore in spiritual matters, that happens as well, that a position of power becomes a corrupting influence. And so we have division among us because of it. But if we all learn the attributes of servantship, we're all on the same page. We all learn to walk with a humble heart towards one another. We all learn to walk as though everybody else is better than ourselves. And those were the qualities that Christ manifested to us in his walk on this earth and in his word before us now. Brothers and sisters, we wait for that wonderful day when we do see our Lord Jesus Christ come again, when we will receive the reward given to his servants in proportion, brothers and sisters, to the level of our service to him. And I can repeat the words of David, that I would rather be a doorkeeper in the kingdom of God than to miss out.